the other day, the Psukim and the Medrash elaborate in our Parsha, Parshas Noach, that the root of the evil of the generation of Noach, of the Mabel, was Gezel, was dishonesty, and the fact that they were stealing from one another. There's a very unfortunate, but a extremely common misconception, and that is with regard to the law, the halacha of Gezel Akum. How does it work when we have interactions with non-Jews? There are many who mistakenly believe that Gezel Akum is permissible, that we are allowed to steal money or trick or deceive a non-Jew when we're dealing with them. And that's what I'd like to talk about today, to clear that misconception. The truth is, it is a discussion in the Tanaim. The Gemara in Baba Kama, the Gemara in Baba Metzia discuss it. And the Gemara tells us in Baba Kama, Kufyud Gimel, in the name of Rabbi Kiva, that Gezel HaNachri is Aser, to steal from a non-Jew is absolutely forbidden, it is not permissible at all. However, the Gemara in Bab Metzia quotes one of the Tanaim, the Tanakama, that believes that Gezel Akum might be permissible. There's a further disagreement amongst the Achronim. Even if you assume that Gezel Nachri is not allowed, even if you assume that we are not allowed to be dishonest in the way we deal with non-Jews, there's a discussion, is that a prohibition midaraisa, or is that a prohibition only midarabanan? And this is a major discussion amongst the Achronim, but the truth is that most of the prominent Achronim agree that this is an absolute Isser D'Araisa. One is not allowed to cheat, one is not allowed to steal, one is not allowed to be dishonest with a Jew or a non-Jew alike. It doesn't make a difference. And that is the opinion of the Shach, that is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva Eger, and the Chasam Sofer, and many, many other Gedolei Achronim who assume that this is not just an Isser D'Rabbanan, but in fact, an Isser D'Araisa. How do we paskin lahalacha? The Rambam writes very clearly in Hilchos Gzela, the Aveda, Perak Aleph Halacha Beis. The Rambam tells us, and this is quoted the halacha in two places in Shulchan Aruch, says the Rambam, Kolagonev Mamon, anyone who steals money, Mishava Pruto Ulamala, if you steal money more than a very small amount, over Alosase, you violate Alosase. Vein Lokin Alabze, says the Rambam, one who violates this prohibition would not get Malkus, he would not get lashes, Shaharei, Nitan letashlumen, because there's a way to undo the wrong that you have done. You can return the money that you've stolen. Shehaganav chiva haTorah leshalim. The Torah told us that if somebody steals money, they must give back the money, and therefore we assume we're not going to give malchus. Now writes the Rambam, who does this apply to? Echad hagonev mamon Yisrael. It doesn't make a difference whether you're cheating another Jew or hagonev mamon goy oved avodah zara. Even if you're stealing from somebody who's a non-Jew, and even if it's somebody who's an oved avodah zara, not just somebody who doesn't believe in your religion, but somebody who believes in a different religion, and somebody who is serving avodah zara and doing a terrible avera, even violating the shavah mitzvahs b'nei Noach, says the Rambam, we have absolutely no right to take any money or to be dishonest with them. The Rambam once again quotes this in another halach, and he says, "Aser ligzol kol shehu din Torah." One is not allowed to take anything from anyone else. Afilu goy oved avodah zara, aser legazlo laashko. You're not allowed to take advantage of another person, even a non-Jew. V'im gazlo o ashko yachzir. If you stole money or you took something unlawfully, you have to make sure to return it. So this Rambam is very clear. The Rambam is very unequivocal about how he paskins the halacha, and this is the way the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. The Mechaber can be found in Choshe Mishpat, in Simen Shin Nun Tes, in Simen Shin Mem Ches as well, that Gezel Akum is absolutely forbidden. It is not allowed at all. One of the contemporaries of the Shulchan Aruch was the great Maharshal. The Maharshal was Reb Shlomo Luria, lived in the 1500s at the same time as the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama were living. So the Maharshal has a question that he's wondering. He says, how could it be that Gezel Akum is forbidden on a level of Daraisa? Don't we know the Torah was given to the Jews? So he says, how can you tell me I'm not allowed to steal from a non-Jew? After all, the Torah was given to Jews and not to non-Jews. So how can the Torah govern over the way we interact with the non-Jews? That is the question of the Maharshal. And because of that, he argues he cannot understand how this is considered to be an Isser D'Araisa. About 100 years later, the great Chacham Tzvi lived in the 1600s, into the middle of the 1700s, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Ashkenazi, the father of Reb Yaakov Emden, and the Chacham Tzvi picks up on this Maharshal and he says, what is he talking about? Since when do we find that the laws of the Torah are only governing the way we interact with other Jews? The Torah all over the place teaches us about not only how to interact with each other, but how to interact with the world and how we're supposed to deal with any business interaction or any interaction that we have with other people. And therefore, he gives examples and he says, for the Torah, we know the Torah tells us, Kisatzer al ir yamim rabim, when you go and you lay a siege on a city, What kind of city is the Torah talking about? It's not talking about when we lay a siege on our own city. We're talking about when we lay a siege on an enemy city. And still the Torah expects us to abide by the law, and the Torah expects us to listen to whatever it instructs us and how we're supposed to interact with that city. And there are laws that govern everything that we do with other people. So he writes, I don't understand where the Yamshar Shlomo comes off to say that just because this is something that we have an interaction between Jews and non-Jews, therefore the Torah does not govern how we're supposed to do that. That is a very troubling statement. And he writes, how could it be worse? Chalila, this is not what he means to say, that it's the same. But he says, how can this be any less than the Avera that the Torah states of Tzar Balei Chaim? We know that we're not even allowed to cause pain to an animal. We're not allowed to cause pain to some part of the Bria, to some part of creation that is not even a human being. So you're going to tell me that the Torah governs the way we treat animals and the Torah does not govern the way we treat other human beings? How is that possible? Lo nitan le'yamar, and therefore writes the Chacham Tzvi, it is absolutely considered to be an Issur D'Oraisa. Now the problem is, what exactly is the Issur D'Oraisa? When we're told the Issur of Lo Signov, that is only from one Jew to another. So what is the Issur D'Oraisa? What is the prohibition to steal from a non-Jew? Where do we find a source for this prohibition? And this is something that is discussed in the Rishonim. But before the Rishonim, this was discussed in the Tana Devei Eliyahu. Tana Devei Eliyahu is a number of passages that were given over to us by Eliyahu Hanavi. And there he writes the following. The Pasuk says, we recite it in Kriyat Shema every day. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chal levavcha. What does it mean to love Hashem with all your heart? Writes the Tana Devei Eliyahu, Shetehei me'ahev shem shamayim al habrius. Our obligation as Jews is not just to love God with our own heart, to have a private and personal relationship with Him, but also, writes the Tana Devei Eliyahu, it is to make other people love God because of the way they see that we represent God. V'lo nitna Torah, he says, what is the objective of all of the 613 mitzvahs, of everything that we try to accomplish in life? Writes the Tana Devei Eliyahu, all of that can be put down to one statement, and that is, Amanas l'kadesh shemo ha-gadol. The reason we do everything we do is just to give honor and dignity to the name of God. And therefore he says, Mikan Amru, if that is the point of life, if that is the reason why we're all here, if the reason why we interact with any part of this world is because God wants us to give honor to His name and dignity to His name, therefore it follows, writes the Tana Devei Eliyahu, Sheyarchik Adam Esatzmo Min HaGezel, Bein Min HaYisrael Ubein Min HaAkum. Doesn't make a difference if it's a Jew or a non-Jew. If the point of the objective of life is to make sure that we give honor and dignity to the name of God, we have to make sure that every interaction that we have, be it with a Jew or a non-Jew or with an animal, with anybody who we might be dealing with, it makes no difference. We assume the name of God must be one that is going to be honored. And not only that, writes the Tana Devei Eliyahu, Velo'od, on top of that issue of V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, on top of the issue of the fact that we have to live life being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, he says, Mishem Shekol HaGonev Min HaGoy, if you're going to start being dishonest in the way you interact with a non-Jew, then Lesofu Gonev Min Yisrael. In the end, you're going to be dishonest in the way you deal with other Jews as well, and you're going to be dishonest in the way you deal with yourself, and dishonest in the way you deal with God. And therefore, writes the Tana Devei Eliyahu, this is something that is absolutely unacceptable. We assume unequivocally that Gezel Akum is forbidden. It is not something that we allow at all. The Rambam, in fact, writes very strong words in the Pirush HaMishnayos about this as well, and he says, V'zeh asher yidmu hamon ha'anashim uktsas ma'ayichidim. He says, there are many people who I've met who believe that I'm allowed to trick somebody who might not be Jewish. I'm allowed to take advantage of a system. So I find something on a website, and some company made a big mistake, and now I'm going to take advantage and buy the tickets when they're only $25, when they're supposed to be $2,500. Are we really allowed to do that? So people often say, what do you mean? It's a non-Jewish company. But what difference does it make? You're not allowed to take advantage of a non-Jew. What does it make a difference? You're not allowed to steal from anybody or be dishonest with them. It writes the Rambam, Hu ta'os v'daz bilti amiti. He says this is an absolute mistake. It's a misrepresentation of what we're all about. V'chein eno mutter habidui v'hatachbula u'mine haramos. We're not allowed to trick anyone in any way. V'kol shekein b'davar sheyuchal lavo lidei chilul Hashem. Certainly, because all of this can lead to a chilul Hashem, as we've seen so many times it does. How often do we see that the Jewish community is attacked because they take advantage of a certain government program or something of that nature? And says the Rambam, this is a great reason that we have to be concerned about, that there can come a chilul Hashem. So the Rama has a very striking comment, where the Rama says, well, if it's true that the nature of the prohibition to steal from a non-Jew is really because of chilul Hashem, the Rama says there would be a tremendous nafkamina lahalacha, and that is the following. The Rama in Evan HaEzer writes, we know that if a man and a woman want to get married, the husband has to buy something with his own money and give it to his wife. Hariat mekudesh esli. So nowadays we buy a ring and that's the way the couple gets married. We all know that that has to be bought with the money of the husband. It cannot be stolen money. If he steals money from someone and gives that to his wife, that doesn't work. So writes the Rama, what if a person would steal money, which he wasn't allowed to do, but what if a person would steal money not from a Jew, but rather from a non-Jew, and take that money and use it to get married to his wife? Kind of a strange way to start off a marriage. But the Rama wants to know, obviously you have to give the money back. There's no question about it. That's not what he's debating. But the question is the couple considered to be married? Is the couple considered to be married? Well, writes the Rama, if the whole prohibition, if the nature of the prohibition to steal from a non-Jew is really not based on los sigzo, but rather on chilul Hashem, he says you can't say that the money becomes something that is not usable. He said, if it's stolen money and it's los sigzo, so you say, this money is not yours, you can't do it. But if you say it's all because of chilul Hashem, a separate prohibition, he says, as much as you certainly would have to give it back and you weren't allowed to do what you did, it could be perhaps that the marriage would go through because you have not violated the Aveira of Lo Sigzo. This is a highly contentious Rama. And right there on the spot, the Shach and the Chakas Mechokik and the Bira Agra and many other later Achronim say that they cannot accept this Psak of the Rama. Because after all, you cannot just shy away and say when you steal from somebody who might not be a Jew that the money now becomes yours. And they don't think that that is an acceptable Psak of the Rama at all. In the side of the page of Shulchan Aruch, we have a commentary by the Be'er HaGola. So there in the Be'er HaGola, he writes, Va'ani, he gives a long explanation as to why he goes on the limb, and he gives so much wording to this issue about Gezel Akum, about how we're not allowed to steal from a Jew or a non-Jew, and he writes, why am I going into such great detail, into such great length about this issue? And he says, Va'ani kosev zos ledoros. The reason I'm writing this is because all future generations need to know. Sheraisi rabim gadlu v'hashiru. I saw many people, he writes, who were very prosperous, who were very fortunate in life and became rich, mintos shehitu ha'akum, because throughout life they were cheating the non-Jews. They were taking advantage of a system. Velo hitzlichu. He says, as much as in the short term they may have gotten rich, in the long term, he said, lo hitzlichu. I can say that I've seen with my own eyes, writes the Be'er HaGola, they did not end up coming out on top. V'yardu nechseyam l'timyon. In the end, their wealth was completely depleted. They lost everything they had. V'lo hinichu achareyam bracha. They left nothing for their children at the end of their lives. V'rabim asher kidshu Hashem. On the other hand, he writes, there were many who were mekadishem shamayim. V'echziru taus akum medavar chashuv. And they gave back when a non-Jew made a mistake. Let's say they gave you too much change and you went back to the store and gave it back. He says, by those people I found that gadlu v'hashiru v'hitzlichu. I saw that they prospered, that they were successful, and that they went through life having very happy lives. And he writes, therefore, I find it as my obligation to make sure that people understand this is not something that is acceptable behavior at all. The Maharsha, I found to be very amusing, because the Maharsha did not live in our generation, but this is a phenomenon that unfortunately we see today. So the Maharsha writes, V'rabim bidar hazeh. He says, many in our generation, and this is not written today, Shemekabtzim osher shalahem shalo be'emuna. There are many people who somehow accumulate a lot of money in a very deceptive, in a very dishonest way, in a fraudulent manner. Uvechilul Hashem, and they do it by violating the principle of chilul Hashem, kigzelas over kochavim, like they take advantage of a system because they're dealing with a non-Jew. Va'acharkach, and he says afterward, there's such great tzaddikim, misnadvim me'oso hamamon, they take that money, and they go and they put up a big building for a yeshiva, and they make sure their name is all over the place. And he says, Lios lehem kavod b'chol shana, that they want every year to be honored by the dinner, and they want recognition from the chairman of the board, and they want everyone to talk about them. V'laseis lehem birchas mishaberach. And he says, they want everyone to give them, as we would say, a mishaberach. Lios lehem shemu teferis, that they should have pride and honor because of the great dedication that they've done. V'ein ze ela mitzvah haba be'aveira. Writes the Maharsha, the mitzvah is worthless. It's a mitzvah haba be'aveira ve'ein la'osher hazeh melech v'kiyum, something that comes from such a source will have absolutely no long-term effect on the community in a positive way at all. And therefore, he writes, this is something that we need to be very careful about. The Rambam extends this halacha even further, and he says in Hilchas Mechira that not only are we not allowed to steal outright from a non-Jew, not only are we not allowed to trick a non-Jew, but he says, asur l'ramlus es b'nei ha'adam b'mekach u'memkar. It means you're not even allowed to do something which is a little bit misleading when you're involved in business. Doesn't matter if you're involved, he says, Echad Goyim ve'echad Yisrael bedavar hazeh. Jews and non-Jews are equal in this prohibition. And he says, if you are a salesman and you know there's something defective about a certain product, you don't have a right to just sell it to people. Doesn't matter who your customers might be. You don't have a right to cheat people or to be dishonest with them and in this regard, he says, it makes no difference who the customer is, whether it's a Jew or a non-Jew. Afilu mila achas shel pitui v'shel genevas das. Even if we're talking about just, I tricked them a little bit, I just didn't say the whole truth, I left out a detail, he writes, this is something that is considered to be genevas das ve'aser, and that is absolutely forbidden. Ela svas emes v'ruach nachon v'leiv tahar mikol amal v'havos, says the Rambam, we have an obligation to speak with candor, to speak with integrity, and everybody who interacts with us should understand that that is the way we live through life. So here, the reason why very often this is a misconception is because people say, well, it's not really a violation of the Isser Lo Signov, it's really just a violation of Chilul Hashem. So it's not the same. If you only understood how much the Gemara explains the prohibition of Chilul Hashem should weigh on us, we would understand that that's not just a meta-halachic issue. That is something that we need to take very seriously. Like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Chilul Hashem is an Avera that even Yom Kippur is not able to be Mechaper for, because Chilul Hashem has no bounds. Chilul Hashem can continue to grow and grow. Like the Achronim say, the Nefesh HaChaim writes, Reb Chaim Belozner, why do we call it a Chilul Hashem? What kind of terminology is that? He says, because a Chalal means an empty space. So when you do something that creates a Chilul Hashem, it's as if you don't believe that God is in this place. Because if you believed He was here, how would He do such a thing? So he writes, a Chilul Hashem means, the definition means, that you've done something to show that God doesn't belong here. And because God doesn't belong here means there's a big empty space, and therefore I have a right to do whatever I want, and therefore I can do something that even people are going to interpret in a negative way or have a negative feeling about God because He doesn't belong here. And writes in Nefesh HaChaim, that's the reason why we need to take this very, very seriously. In fact, the Mesillas Yesharim writes as well that this is a very unclear definition of how we figure out what exactly a Chilul Hashem is and what it is not, because after all, writes the Mesillas Yesharim, it depends on how great the person is, that's going to be commensurate with how much the Chilul Hashem might cause. So if you're a person who's a very well-respected person, then the stakes are higher. And Chilul Hashem for you is even when you do something that is seemingly a very small act, and somebody misinterprets it to mean something that you didn't want it to mean, that might create a greater Chilul Hashem than a person who might not be of prominence who does the very same act. And this is something we need to be concerned about, like the Archas Tzadikim writes as well, one of the great Bali Musar, he says, that Chilul Hashem is one of those things. It's an Avera Sheyesh LaPeiros. It's an Avera that has after effects. It's an Avera that has extensions. Because, he says, when you do something, Azacherim Lom Dimimenu, other people are going to think negatively about the way we interact, the way we do act. And therefore, he writes, Chilul Hashem, that's why the Gemara tells us, is something that even Yom HaKippurim would not be good enough to gain a kapara for, because it's something we need to take seriously. And that's why, when we talk about Genevas Akum, it's not just something that should be brushed aside and said, it's not really Lo Signov. It's something perhaps worse than Lo Signov. It is Chilul Hashem, which, as we mentioned, is something that the Torah takes very, very seriously and not lightly at all.